Please take your Bibles. Open with me to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25, verse 31, as we look at the tabernacle. Again, we're in the book of Hebrews. But until we have a good understanding of the tabernacle, I believe that you'll be missing some very good points that need to be known in the book of Hebrews without knowing the tabernacle. Exodus 25, verse 31. Exodus 25, 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft, his branches, his bowls, his knops, his flowers shall be of the same. Six branches shall come out of the side of it, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knop and a flower, so that six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, with the knops and the flowers. And there shall be knops under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and the knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches which proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, and they may give light over against it. The tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it, with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after the pattern which was shown thee in the mount. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this precious time together. Thank you for bringing these folks in. Thank you for your sweet spirit as we come and you speak to each one of us. Apply the words that we're doing, that we're studying, you apply it to each one of our hearts. And many times it's applied in a different way. I have never seen this, or that was new to me, or now I understand that. Father, that's that sweet spirit that you give us. He comes, he directs us, he teaches us. And so, Father, please, that first you send that spirit to a lost soul, if they do not know you as their Savior, that today they'll come. Because it begins there to show them that they're a sinner and lost. They need a Savior, and that Savior is, Father, your Son, Jesus. So please speak to our hearts today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want, just in a little statement here before we get started, a definition or a drawing or an idea or some principle of what a knop is, you're going to go home disappointed, because I have no idea what a knop is. And it's some, again, the key word is in verse 40, and that is, and look that thou make them after their pattern which was shown thee in the mount. And so God showed Moses, and Moses showed the workmen exactly how to build this lampstand. And it does have three branches on each side and then one stem in the middle. And so it has seven candles. Before we get to the lampstand, however, we need to spend just a little bit more time with the table of showbread. And so you can see the table of showbread is at the bottom of the chalkboard there, and the lampstand is shown to the top of it, and that's exactly the way it is. And some declare to us that the incense altar that I have over against the veil is possibly out in the center of that room. The reason I put it over against the veil is because the incense is designed not only to fill that room, but to pour into the Holy of Holies. And so I've always kind of portrayed it on the wall there, but many believe that that incense altar is halfway between the table and the lampstand itself. Couple of things with the table. There are 12 loaves. They are there to feed upon these loaves, only for the priests. You go to the upper picture there, you come in, you bring the offering, your sacrifice. There always has to be the shedding of blood. Then we go to the laver, which is next, and they wash, they cleanse themselves. That's what the Word of God does. First, the Word of God convicts your heart, that shows you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. That's where the precious blood of Jesus comes in, because you trust in Him as your Savior. Then we come to the laver. Now, salvation is done. That was taken care of at the brazen altar, or as we can call that, the cross. Then we come to the next, and that's that laver, because what happens, we don't clean our life up. We don't cleanse ourselves and then say, okay, Jesus, I'm perfect here. Now you can come and save me, because He gets a filthy vessel the day that He saves us. We're sinners. We're rotten sinners. We deserve hell. We need to deserve the fires of hell. We deserve it for eternity. But because of the love of God and the love that He has shown toward us through His Son, the Lord Jesus, then we can have our sins taken care of. But we still live in the flesh. And so that flesh gets dirty. And it is dirty. We have a new heart, but the old flesh is dirty, and so we need the cleansing. And so that's done at the laver. It's got two levels, feet and hands. And so, of course, there is no floor in this tabernacle. So there's your feet get dirty, your hands get dirty from the work and from the service and the worship. So you cleanse yourself. Then you get to go in to the holy place, this first room. And we've talked about the size of the table of showbread, but once you come in, then you have the opportunity of feeding, being fed. The laver is a picture of the work that the Holy Spirit does to kind of make us more like the Lord Jesus. That's ongoing. We also need constant feeding. And here comes the 12 loaves of bread that are on this this table. Something that is missing here that I'm sure every one of you have in your home, and that's a chair. There is no place to sit. You see, we are to be in non-stop service unto the Lord. We come in and feed upon the bread of life. We feed upon the Word of God. But we're not supposed to sit down. Now, the older we get, yes, the more time we spend in sitting, because we just don't have the energy. But our mind, our heart, our life needs to be in constant service to the Lord Jesus. We have been saved by His blood, we've been washed by His word, and now we're in, and He even feeds us. Let's see that you do understand the need of feeding, of eating of this bread, of taking this precious word. We were in Matthew chapter 27 this morning in Sunday school, and yet we were all away from the tabernacle to Solomon's temple to Zerubbabel's temple to Herod's temple before we finished up. We basically had 5 minutes of the study in the end of Matthew just because of questions and things that we were looking at. It started with the veil and talking about how the veil now is no longer in existence. The Jewish religion has been put to naught. The day that that veil was separated, and we go right now into the presence of God. All these things we need to understand, and the only way we do that is by studying the Word of God, taking time, coming together and studying the Word of God and studying it yourself. But the purpose of that is then that we will be in service. The house of God is not a place of ease and of entertainment. And that's what we find today in so many places that they call churches. It is a time of entertainment. You sit and listen to the music and you're entertained by some preaching, or in many cases today they don't even have a preacher. They just got a screen and you watch it. That's as close to a movie theater as you're going to get. And why do people like that? Why do people go to that? It's because it's so much like the world. And we need to see that we have gotten ourselves out of the world. We're in the holy place. We're in a place where we've come to hear the Word of God and hear the truth and let the Word of God convict our hearts and grow us. We're not here to be entertained. If you're here to be entertained, you just as well leave, because you're not going to be entertained today. We are here to be convicted by the Holy Spirit and shown us His Word to grow. That's why we're here. Now, I hope you have a good time. There's a difference between enjoying yourself and being entertained, because the more we surrender to the Lord Jesus, the more joy that's going to come into your heart. There's a difference between entertained and joy. The world is entertainment. So please that you understand. And so there is no the work that we need to do. We need to eat the bread standing on our feet. And then we need to be in the business of serving. The business of serving. So many people live all of their life for one purpose and one reason, and that is I can finally retire so I can do what I want to do. Well, you better be doing what you should be doing right here and now, not waiting till you're retired to go do something. And I hope to go do something isn't to go boating and isn't to go golfing and isn't to doing all those things. You know, Tony, I'm worried about you. You're going to go on that golf course just as soon as you retire. I know you are. I'm gonna have to hunt you down and bring you back, because that's all I'm gonna have to do. He's as likely to be on that golf course as I am, and so, but we're to be serving. Now again, understand that the older we get, the more energy and the strength that we have. The more, yes, we need to have a time of rest. Yes, you need vacation. You need things like that. But please that you don't focus on those things. We need to be in service of God. We've got work to do. We got much work to do. And so please that we focus upon that. These priests understood that. There was no chair, no place to sit. There was nothing in that room other than that bread and the lampstand. And so please, we need to understand too that on the first Passover, they prepared the lamb, they put the blood over the doorpost, and they ate that lamb prepared properly, as God had said, with their shoes on their feet, and their loins were girded, and just the second that they were finished, out that door they went. It's time to be serious about the service of the Lord. You know, as we think about the Lord's Supper, we had the Lord's Supper last week, and we always read from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and in the 26th verse, it says, "Ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Now, Christ, our living bread, is coming again. What are we going to be doing when he comes. Are we going to be sitting down, or are we going to be serving and working? Which are we going to be doing? And again, that doesn't mean that there isn't a time that you rest and things like that, but the mindset today is nothing but recreation and relaxation and fun. We're believers in Christ. And if you really want to have fun, if you really want to have the joy, serve Christ. Because he will give you a joy that the world cannot give. And so please, please, look to the Lord Jesus. The moment that trump sounds, where will you be? What will you be doing? Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 35. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 6. This is what that bread that's on the table of showbread means. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's what the Word of God gives us, a power and a strength each and every day. So look to the Word of God and feed up on the Word of God. Now, next is the importance of understanding the Word of God, seeing what is in the Word of God. And that comes to the lampstand that we just read about. There's something I want you to see, and I'm kind of curious to see whether you caught it. This is the only item, only piece of furniture in the whole tabernacle that's personalized. Look at verse 31, Exodus 25:31. Thou shalt make a candlestick or lampstand of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft, his branches, his bowls, his knops, his flowers shall be the same. His. There's a pronoun right there. And you say, Larry, what do you know about pronouns? Very little. I think there's a noun, I think there's a pronoun, I think there's a verb, I think there's an adjective. That's about it. Don't ask me to separate, but I do understand what a pronoun is. His. And you look at that, and it says, his shaft, his branches, his bowls, his knops. Candlestick, the lampstand, is a symbol of a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 9, verse 5 says, I am the light of the world. So that lampstand stands in there, and we kind of covered this last week just a little bit. There is no natural light in there. When we bring in natural light, you're going to begin to have a less understanding of the Word of God. Bringing in natural light is taking this beautiful old King James Bible and changing it and making it into some of the many of the versions that we have. They've taken the blood out. They've taken in some of these. I shouldn't even call them a Bible. Some of these books that they call a Bible today, they have taken the he and the she out. Because they have to be woke correct. And what they've done is they've taken that veil out and they've allowed the light to come in because man is changing the Word of God. Now we've got a choice. And that choice is to stay with the one that is the closest we have, which is the old King James. Don't leave it. Don't go to something else because you're allowing natural light to come in to direct you and feed you. And that's something you do not want. Pure gold, yes, means deity. His shaft and his branches. One thing that I missed to mention, forgot to mention, and that is with this bread that's on the table, the showbread. When the, and we talked about this last week, when the folks came from the foreign land, all the kings, the important folks from the east, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, these gifts. Now, the gold, as we said, speaks of his birth. Yes, it speaks of his deity, but it also speaks of his birth. Myrrh speaks of his death. That was the three things. Frankincense speaks of life. That's what we have when we feed upon the Word of God. We have and enjoy life. Now, the way we enjoy this life is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and to depend upon His light. Now, you can say the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say the Word of God. Those two things are one of the same. They cannot be separated. They cannot be divided in any way. And that's the reason that we need to stay with the truth. So when you read the Word of God, you are listening to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So understand that. Understand that. So now knowing that then, let's look back to the lampstand. How can you see to eat this bread, to feed upon this bread that's on the table of showbread, unless this lampstand is present? Unless the light of this lampstand. Can you picture this? It is on the south wall, but the backdrop of that wall, and can you imagine in your own home that you have a candlestick, a beautiful candlestick, and it has seven bright bowls in it, and it has seven wicks, and those bowls are full of oil, and this shines brightly, just brilliantly out in the room, and the backdrop is this solid, polished golden wall. Can you imagine how that magnifies that light across that room? How beautiful it is when you walk in to the holy place. You've taken care of your heart. You're born again. You've had this daily cleansing that each one of us need. And now we've come into this room that is 30 foot long, 15 foot wide, 15 foot tall ceilings, two gold and solid walls on the side, each one that's 30 foot long. We have the beautiful embroidered ceiling that you have in there with the cherubims and all the colors. You've got the veil that's behind you. You've got the veil that's before you. The most beautiful room ever created. Beautiful. You not only have the beauty, but because of the incense that is in that room, you do not smell the stench of death that's out at the brazen altar. Now, This is totally necessary to have the light of the Lord Jesus. You cannot see the bread. You will not be nourished by the bread without the light of the Lord Jesus. Let's just turn one page here and go over to Exodus 27, verse 30. I'm sorry, verse 20. Exodus 27, 20. It says, "Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten, for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always." Burn always. There was a priest that was responsible for trimming the wicks and to keep the oil in the lampstand so that it constantly was burning brightly in this room. So that whenever you entered the holy place, you had the joy of all the beauty. You had the joy of feeding upon the bread, and you could see the bread clearly. You could be nourished by the bread. You had any question where the bread was. You had no question of what it was and where it was because of the light. Now, what's the oil stand for? The oil in the Word of God always stands for the Holy Spirit. So what we've got, this lampstand, and as we read back in verse 31, his shaft, his branches, his bowls, his knops, his flowers, the construction of this lampstand is his. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we find again, there's no windows. There is no other light. It has to come from the light of the Lord Jesus. And you decide that you're going to, just stay home and you can kind of study this on your own, which you can. But it's so important that you come in, because there wasn't just one priest in here. The priest would come and they would gather together and they would feed upon the Word of God together. And that's what we do by the light and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so understand that you need the Holy Spirit. So the light of the Holy Spirit, the light of the candlestick, points to the Lord Jesus Christ and also to the Word of God that cannot be separated. I thought of Jay because most often when Jay would close in prayer, why he would say these words, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I thought of Jay when I read this Psalms 119:105. And so we need to understand the Word of God, the Lord Jesus, cannot be separated. It is one. So when you're studying the Word of God, Old Testament or New, either one, it is directing you right to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the Word of God. We are always to walk in the light of His Word. And so the priest always enjoyed the beauty, was nourished by the Word of God. That's what each one of us need to do. Now, what happens if we decide to neglect that? What happens if we decide not to study our Bible, not to ask the Holy Spirit to direct us? And I'm speaking to born-again believers. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to folks that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. The lost, you're out here. You're not even in the courtyard of the tabernacle. You've never been to the brazen altar. You've sure never been to the laver. You have never entered into the holy place to see all this beauty. What have you seen? You've seen the smoke coming off of the brazen altar. You have smelled the stench of death. I don't know if you've ever smelled the flesh when it's burning. Stinks. That's what you smell that. You see that. You see the tabernacle, but you see this porpoise hide, the old drab porpoise hide that's covering it. Now, that's what a lost person sees. So you need to tell them that Jesus saves. You need to tell them that you're lost in your sin. You need to come by faith to Jesus and come right on in and enjoy the fun and the fellowship and what I see. And he says, I don't believe you. Well, how do you get from the outside inside? By faith. So when somebody says they don't believe you, what are they lacking? Faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the only way that they're ever going to be saved is to give them the word of God. You need to give them the word of God. But here's the problem. Many people that do not realize the need they have to be fed the word of God, to be fed yourself, for you to study your precious word. What's the one thing that the devil loves for you to do? He loves you to be busy. And you know what? You can even be busy around the church. But one thing that he wants to keep you out of, and that's the word of God. Because if he can keep you out of the word of God, you begin to forget how beautiful it is inside. Because you find yourself on the outside. You're between the brazen altar and the brazen laver. And that's all you see. You're back in the world. And until you go to that laver, let that washing be done, and then you go back in, and then all of a sudden you begin to remember, oh, Lord, I have so missed you. I have missed you so much. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Because if you want to see the beauty that Jesus Christ has for you in him, you walk into that holy place. And we haven't even got to the best part. There's another room. We're just talking about you learning and growing. Don't you want to meet Jehovah God and fellowship with him? Because the Son of God's going to take you by the arm and walk you right in and say, here's my Father. If you know me, you know him. See, it just begins. You see why no one studies the book of Hebrews? No one goes through this tabernacle. I don't know how many times I've taught it. I don't know how many times I've read it. And if you're sitting there and saying, you know, I've heard it all the time, I don't need to hear it anymore, you ask God to forgive you. Because there's no better, beautiful story than what we have in this. In this. So please, go home, read your precious word. Don't let anything keep you out of that book. Ask him to direct you, because you see, there is no, thankfully, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. But for a long time, when I first we first came here, almost every time we would leave, somebody would say, Larry, that was really good, but I got a book for you to read. I got this book. I mean, it'll really help you understand what you're saying. I've got the book. I don't need a book on the Holy Spirit or on this. I don't need that because I have the book. I know the author. And all I need to do is take time to spend with him. That's all you need to do. That's all you need to do. Because when you begin to look at the other books, now, I have my professors, I call them my professors, all of them are dead. That's the only good professor, kind of like good lawyer. The only ones is ones that are dead. And so you can trust them. Any human that's breathing, you got to watch out for them. But when they're dead, they're not going to change. I know their witness. I know their testimony. I know their teaching. But I'm very careful because it's very easy to be misled and begin to go down that road the wrong way if you're not following after his precious word in him alone. This, just a couple of things. The light outside brings human reasoning. The other day we were just talking about, you know, the natural light. We talked about Mother Nature. Well, that's no different than the old devil. So you need to be careful. Because I serve Father God. Mother Nature brings in reasoning. Mother Nature brings in all the thoughts of the day. And so you need to be so, so careful. In Matthew 25, verses 23 through 26, it speaks of they reasoned. In other words, they listened to God, but then they got back and they started reasoning. See that you don't follow after the reason. You follow after the Holy Spirit. This reasoning rejects the Word of God. Reasoning brings in human philosophies and theories, and those theories have brought us evolution. It has brought us the thought that everybody's good. Everybody's good. I mean, there's good in you. I mean, some people are more wicked than others, but they're good. People are good. No, they're not. They're wicked. They're lost. They're wicked and they're lost. These theories, these philosophies, these human ways have brought us a universal fatherhood concerning our God and also a universal brotherhood of man. It brings a blindness. It blinds you from seeing the cross of Calvary. It blinds you from seeing the blood of Jesus that was shed for you. That's what human philosophy gives you. So please, look to the truth. Understand the need to walk with the Lord Jesus. What if you have, reasoning? You have lies, you have deception. One thing you don't have, and that's faith. Look to the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Walk each day. Please. Instead of the blood, it's the only remedy for sin. It's been substituted by religion, by morality, by ethics, by ordinances, by education, and by philosophy. Come to the Lord Jesus. We've got more verses of Scripture here to look at, but we'll begin there. We need to deal with the oil. We're going to look back to Isaiah 61 for that, and just many verses of Scripture. Please, please, this week, take time each day to read the precious Word and ask the Spirit of God to guide you. He will. He will. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come today, to gather today, to proclaim your precious Word. Bend to the cross, the brazen altar. Come to the laver for the washing. Then we come in. But if it not be for the lampstand, it would be total darkness. That's what we have in the world. But Father, when we enter into the holy place, that light is shining bright. Gives us direction and leadership, gives us nourishment, gives us strength, gives us joy and peace. Fills us with your precious, precious power that we can have the love and the joy, the peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, the being empowered and filled by your precious Word through your Spirit. Please speak to hearts now. Thank you for your Word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.